Today, as we begin into our sermon, let us pray. Gracious Father, we come before you, and Lord, we're getting ready to look at the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we understand how important this reality is, because Father, we have a message to tell, and the virgin birth is a huge portion therein. Because Father, it is from that we find our sinless Savior. He who was born, the Virgin Mary, and brought us life. Father, show us the reality therein and guide us into your truth, that we would know and be able to stand against the questions and against the darkness, against the ignorance of our world. For these things we pray thee in Jesus' holy name. And God's church said, amen. And amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Again, as I said, we're going to be continuing on in our series here, and we're going to be looking at the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We're going to be in the book of Luke in the first chapter, and we're going to begin in the 26th verse. And I'm going to read 26 through 38 in the NIV. You will probably notice over the next several weeks and months that I'm going to be doing three Bible sermons, okay? Because I'm doing a lot of teaching. In fact, I had to instruct Brother David to that, because the reality is these next months are going to be teaching sermons. They're not preaching sermons, they're teaching sermons. Sermons to help give us that foundation. This is what we know, and this is what we believe. And it's going to help define us as a church and help us to move forward, knowing the realities that God gives us through His Word. From the Word of God, in the book of Luke, in the first chapter, in the 26th verse, we read these words. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. As we read those scriptures, they're scriptures that we often read at Christmas time, aren't they? That's one of the readings that we go through as we're lighting the Advent wreath, and we've all heard them, and we all know of the virgin birth, but we can't explain it. What do you mean a virgin gave birth? How is that medically possible? And even if it is possible, there's some other questions. Well, the reality is, in all of history, there is no other parallel to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. In Christ's birth, one perfect person with two natures was brought into the creation. The first nature is that of Almighty God Himself, and the second being that of a man, yet man without sin. How does that happen? How can we be born of a woman and be sinless? Well, we're going to deal with that in a moment. Right now, I want to deal with the virgin birth. Okay? Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis in the third chapter, verses 10 through 15. Now, I'm going to read it in the King James, but I want you to follow along in the NIV. And there's a reason I'm reading it in the King James, because it speaks a better language than the translation of the NIV. The NIV is a little bit easier to understand and follow. However, I want to read it with better interpreted words. So therefore, I'm going to be using the King James Version for this. Genesis, in the third chapter, beginning in the 10th verse through the 15th verse. In the third chapter, we find this is where the fall of man came into being. The serpent had tempted, and they had partaken of the fruit, and God is walking in the garden, looking for Adam and Eve. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shalt not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Blessed be the word of the Lord. Now the scripture there that I want you to look at in particular is in verse 15. I'm going to read it again in my version. And it says here in the King James, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Brothers and sisters, there is nowhere else in scripture, there is nowhere else, anywhere in anything that God writes, where he talks about the seed of the woman. It's an improbability. Women don't have seed. Okay? Men have seed. Women have the fertile ground. Okay? Please understand that. Scripture speaks of that. All right? But for some reason, God says between thy seed and the woman's seed. Because something here is going to be different. Something is going to change. Because from her, this is the very first instance that we understand that a woman is going to give birth, and a woman alone, without a man. Okay? The reality is, the woman was simply a vessel. Just as your pastor is supposed to be a vessel for the word of the Lord to speak through me, that the Holy Spirit would speak through me rather than Pastor Rich Dubbs standing up here, or what I like to say, Richie, the kid from Glen Rock. Because it's not about me. It's about him and my being yielded up to him that he may speak his words. That he may, as Mary said at the end there, may it be unto me as thee have said. In other words, completely yielded up, that whatever God would have, may it be so. That's actually saying amen. Did you know that? What she said there is what we mean by the words amen. May it be as you have said. So Mary spoke the amen in her life, and something miraculous was about to happen. We know about it from the very beginning. Why? Because Adam was the first. He was perfect, without sin. So was Mary. And they were meant to live that perfect, sinless life. But God created them in such a way that they could choose. We choose every day. And it's hard for us to realize and to comprehend that the original sin tainted all of us. Not that we are guilty of the original sin. You see, that's one of the misnomers. People think, wow, we're guilty of the original sin. No, we're not guilty of the original sin. Original sin tainted us, tainted human beings, because sin entered into the question, and it changed our DNA. Okay? Up until that point in time, we were perfect. But as soon as that happened, we were separate from God, and we were no longer under His protection. And therefore, the ravages of time and the ravages of illness and genetic malfunction were now possible. For God removed His hand from the man and the woman, no longer sustaining them. Okay? That's something that you need to kind of wrap your head around. That without the sustaining grace of God, even the planets that are running around this sun and all the stars and all the universes and all the galaxies and everything, all of it would fall apart without God's hand of provision, without God's hand of protection, without God's sustaining grace. And He removed it. And in that, we were changed. The human race became sinful by nature because we chose a nature outside of God. So how? Because the only way we could be redeemed is through a sinless individual, a person who had no sin nature. How was that going to happen? God here made provision for it because He spoke of this virgin birth. He spoke of this reality that one was going to be born of the woman's seed, that the only portion that was going to be used was the woman. But now you need to understand something a little bit further too. Because you see, God wasn't using any of Mary's DNA either. And that's very important for us to remember. Because if He'd have used Mary's DNA, would Jesus Christ have been sinless? No. Because Mary's nature was also a sin nature. Mary's DNA was tainted. Okay? Now, how many of you watch CSI? You know, all those different shows where they're out and they're checking on the DNA. And, you know, isn't it neat? Because they can, and within the next 10 minutes, they got the answer, right? Do you know how long it actually takes to get DNA results? Weeks, months, depending on where you're getting it done. Here in Lebanon, probably a year. Ruth says, no, not quite that long. She'd know. She gets the results where she used to work. But the reality is it takes time. But God knows it instantly. The moment they fell, the moment Adam and Eve fell, the DNA was changed because God's protective hand came off of it. So if Mary's DNA were part of Christ's DNA, He would have a sin nature. So how in the world does this virgin birth actually work? What's going on here? And it's so amazing because we're talking about a biological miracle on the smallest degree, but yet on the greatest degree. Because how do you bring life from nothing? Folks, what did we just read? Nothing is impossible for God. Everything that is came from nothing. I think it's amazing because when you think about the creation-evolution debate, and you start looking at the reality that scientists want us to believe, they want us to believe that all matter that exists today existed in a single atom. And that atom became so dense that when it blew up, all this stuff that we now know exists. Okay? All the matter that is now came from one atom. Okay? Do you understand the impossibility of that? It takes more faith to believe that than it does any portion of the Bible or the Bible in its entirety. Because there is no way, no place, no how that has ever been witnessed in history. And yet they teach it to our children as if it's fact. They put it on tests, and our children have to regurgitate it for them. And it's drilled into their heads that this is how life came to be. The reality is life came from nothing. We understand it from the very first verses of the Scriptures. In the beginning was God. And the world was formless and void. It was what? Formless and void. Nothing existed. The only thing that existed was God and His consciousness. In three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they're all present right there at the beginning as well. For God spoke, that's Jesus. And the Spirit of God hovered over the deep. The deep what? The deep consciousness of God. Okay? How vast is the consciousness of God? We can't fathom it. for it fills the universe and beyond. So the deep of God is pretty deep, but it was empty. There was nothing there. So how do we get back to that purity? How do we get back to that reality that we have a sinless being? That's where the virgin birth comes in. And we actually need to go back to the very words that we began with in the book of Luke. So turn with me, if you would, back to where we were, understanding that we now know that this was planned for from the beginning of time, that the woman was going to bring forth a child without man's need, without man's help. How does that happen? Ladies, can you bring forth a baby without the seed of a man? It's absolutely impossible. There are some creatures here on our earth that can reproduce without a male, but that's only because they have both male and female parts within them. Okay? Now, there is such a thing out there in the world where you actually have cloning. It's been seen in some reptiles where a female reptile will give birth to female reptiles. There are no males. Okay, so it's an entirely female culture. Think about that. All right? There cannot be, in that type of situation, Jesus would have had to have been born what? Female. But she gave birth to a son, a male. From the book of Luke, I'm talking and not turning. From the book of Luke. And I am, again, going to read from the NIV because I want the NIV words. And this is one of the things that I hope you're enjoying, because the reality is, as I've said many times, I love the NIV because the NIV makes it easy to understand. It is a much easier flow. But there are better versions out there when it comes to word-for-word translation. And the King James is one of those better translations, but it also has errors in it in translation because men did the translation, not God. As we look at verses 31 and 34 and 35 in the first chapter, verse 31 says this: "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Now that is the first place that I want to stop. I want to visit that for just a moment. And thou shalt what? Conceive in thy womb is what the King James says. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb. In other words, something is going to happen inside of you. I need you as a vessel. Okay? That was the greeting that the angel spoke to Mary, that she was favored by God and that he was going to overshadow her. Okay? And that's why she was perplexed, because that was a greeting that had never been spoken before. In all of their writings and all of their understanding, that type of greeting was never spoken to a woman before. Because God was opening up the way for Mary to understand that he wanted to use her in a very special way, as a very special vessel, to bring something into being. And that something was his son, because she was going to conceive in her womb. Now, Mary wasn't going to conceive, her womb was going to conceive. That takes it even a step further, because when a woman conceives, the whole woman conceives, okay, because it's of her being. What does it say is going to conceive? Her womb is going to conceive. Something's going to happen in her womb, okay? Doesn't have anything to do with her. Has everything to do with God and what he's going to do and how he's going to use her. Now, did God need permission for this to happen? I got one person over here shaking their head no, two people shaking their head no. Ladies, did God need her permission for this to happen? Please shake your heads yes. The answer is yes. God never forces himself on anyone. Hence the conversation. And what did Mary say? May it be as thou hast said unto me. She agreed. You see, God had a plan, and even with Mary and the bringing of the Christ, he does not force anything. God wants that personal relationship, that personal commitment, that portion of you that gives yourself up, not because you have to, but because you want to. There's a big difference in having to and wanting to. I have to drive 55 miles an hour or I get a ticket, and I don't want to drive 55 or get a ticket. Yeah, Ruth Ann's laughing. She knows what I'm talking about. Got the ticket and did more than 55, didn't I, sis? She laughs. It's all her fault. Each and every one of us, God wants us to agree to be part of what He wants to do in this world. Why is the virgin birth so important? Because if Mary would have said no, what would God have done? Well, He'd probably looked for somebody else, right? And we'd have never heard about Mary. But God is so honest, I think even if Mary would have said no, we'd have heard that she said no. Because the Scripture, so many places, shows us negative things that have happened. And it's like, oh, well, why would you say something like that? You know, that's going to shine a bad light. And God's not afraid of truth. And the truth is, Mary understood what God was asking. Would you be a vessel for me? Would you allow me to bring my son into existence through you? Now, this woman was pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. What did that mean? If she was found to be pregnant, what would happen to her? She would be stoned. So both she and this unborn child would be put to death. Because that meant she was unfaithful to her husband and she was considered a prostitute. Think about that. And she submitted unto the Lord, trusting her very life. How many of us are willing to trust our life the way Mary did? Are we willing to go there? Are we able to see that going to France is something that God asks us to do? He doesn't force us to do. And He says, would you give me yourself that I can use you to talk to people, talk to these Muslim ladies, and show them a better way? Do you see how this stuff all begins to tie in to what we're doing and what God's calling us to? The very reality of God and the way He brought Himself into being into our lives speaks of what is important to God and what should be important to us. So how do we get back to this sinless person? Well, let's do a little bit further digging. Drop all the way down, if you would, to verse 34. And from verse 34, now this is the King James again. You follow along in your NIV. It says, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, I find it interesting that they use this language. And please, I'm going to read this again and catch it, all right? That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That sounds strange. Why didn't the angel say, and this holy child, that holy thing, why didn't he say holy child? Because of the Spirit? Good thought. You know, I'm not going to say no, because I don't know, okay? But I pondered these things. And I say, that holy thing that is going to be born of thee, I want you to remember something. Though Jesus Christ was born a child, how long beforehand had He existed? Jesus has never been a child. Jesus has always been God eternal. So therefore, to describe Him solely as a child would be to take away the deity of our God. And the angel couldn't do that. And he had to speak the only way he knew how to speak. Because remember, the angels only use the words that the Lord gives them, right? If they're truly an angel and not a fallen angel, they use the words. And the angel said, in the holy thing, because we can't describe God. We can't define him. Okay? Neither can the angels. He is something beyond our comprehension. He is what? What did you just hear me say? He is something beyond our comprehension. We know him as a being, but he's a spirit being. But yet he's so much more. So therefore, the angel here is explicitly speaking of the reality of God coming into being. And the reality that God is going to do this work. Okay? It's going to be conceived in her womb. And this holy thing that is going to come into being is going to be called the Son of God. Now, I want you to understand, he was not using Mary's DNA. What was going to be transpiring? Let's read this again. These are important issues, and I really want you to get this stuff. It says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. God implanted in her that new creation. Just as he created Adam as a sinless human being, he created in Mary, now Marian, correct me if I'm wrong on this word, a zygote. Does anybody know what a zygote is besides Marian and possibly myself? You don't count. You're welcome. You're a preacher. You should know. Marian, explain a zygote. It's an embryo, okay? It's not a fertilized egg. It's the cells that have begun to divide. After fertilization, as soon as the cells begin to divide, it's now called a zygote. All right? God, and this is why it is so important for us to understand that from conception is considered birth in the Christian church. Okay? Because as soon as that egg splits and becomes more than one cell, it is now a living being. Because that's what God implanted in Mary, a living being. Mary was simply the vessel to bring that living being into human existence. Because if God would have created him whole, a man, or even as a baby, he would not have been born of the virgin. Okay? He would have been created. God already created. He was bringing forth from his creation. Remember, he spoke that. That God was bringing forth from his creation, allowing it to procreate. Us being part of the equation was quite important. And we need to remember that. Mary had to be there. Mary had to be the vessel. Okay, Pastor, so God implants this zygote. Doesn't that still allow DNA from Mary to transfer to the unborn child? No. We understand that more now than ever. Years ago, it was thought that the blood from the mother would actually go into the child as they were in the womb, that you know, blood would transfer. There's absolutely no blood transfer. All the blood that child is going to have, that child creates within its makeup as it is growing, as that zygote is developing into a fetus, into a full-grown baby that is ready to be deposited. And boy, Miss Shannon can attest to that. You know, her time's not far from now. And she's saying, yes, Lord, let it come. And then she's also saying, and I'm scared to death. And you know what? That's okay. I think every mother in all of creation was. I can only imagine how Mary felt. And us guys will never understand it, will we? No. Yes, Lyle. What about the what? The feeding part? Well, see, that's just it, Lyle. When the fetus feeds off of the mother, the only thing that is passed through the cell walls, because blood cannot pass through the cell walls, only nutrients can pass through the cell walls. That's a very good question. Nutrients are the only thing that can pass through the cell walls of the uterus into the placenta of the child. And on the placenta, and I don't know what the name of that is, where it actually goes and the umbilical cord comes from. You know, I wish I had all the scientific stuff. I got Marion here for that. But where that adheres to the wall, the only thing being transferred, because even the umbilical fluid is created inside that womb. Okay? That doesn't come from mom. That comes through the birth process. We need to understand that that's a separate world in there. I want you to think about that. Every child born is born in their own little world. And then they come into this world. Whereas the parents come together, they create something, what? New. Just as God created new. But the parents create from their DNA. God needed a perfect son. He needed a second Adam. So therefore, he implanted in Mary the zygote, which then attached to the uterine wall, and from there we have the virgin birth. We can understand it better now than they ever could, but does that mean we understand it fully? Absolutely not. How did he put that baby in there? By the power of the Holy Spirit and the overshadowing of the Most High. He is God, and nothing is impossible for him. And if he can bring forth his son into this world through a woman, and yet he's sinless, how much more so can he help us who in sin call upon his name and give ourselves to him freely and wantingly simply because of a love relationship? When Jesus was born, he knew who he was. We know that because of what he did at the temple. Well, what do you mean you didn't know where I was? Didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house? He knew who he was. And we too know who he is. The world wants to say the virgin birth is impossible, but the amazing thing is science proves that it can happen with a God who is all-powerful and is able to do everything he has said he can do and shown us that he does. You and I need to remember that that virgin birth is so real, because without it, Christ would have been born with a sin nature, and in that sin nature, he could not have saved himself. But because he was completely and totally made by God in the womb, not as a full human being, but that he came into existence from that creative process to be born, go through the process that we all go through. He went through the conception process. It was simply God doing the conception, not Mary. For you shall conceive in thy womb. Okay? Mary's not conceiving. Her womb is conceiving. And God is the one doing it. God brought forth his son through the Virgin Mary. And from him, we have a sinless Savior who had both the very full nature of God, because he is God, and the full nature of each and every one of us, because he was born as we are born, of flesh and blood. And he suffered in every manner that we suffer. He was tempted in every way that we are tempted, and yet was without sin. Do you think it was easy for him? It's funny, because I have to say yes and no. Yes, it was easy for him because he's God. Okay? And he was able to stand the test. But then we have to look at the Garden of Gethsemane, and we understand the fullness of his suffering. Because he went to the stone three times, what I call going to the stone. How many of you have ever gone to the stone? In a minute you're going to find out what I mean by that. How many of you have ever gone to that place, that quiet place, where you've just gotten out there and you've thrown yourself down on that hard thing that is holding you back and said, Lord, take it away from me. Jesus prayed three times. Father, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thy will be done. Every time submitting to the Father, until finally the Father said, no, this cup shall not be taken, I shall strengthen thee. And he sent angels to strengthen the Lord. And remember what he suffered in those moments. His blood was as drops, or his sweat was as drops of blood falling to the ground. Have you and I suffered? Have you and I tormented to the point where we literally sweat blood? There are times we've felt that way, haven't we? But did you literally see blood coming out, hemorrhaging from your skin? Jesus did. And that's a medical fact. That is actually a medical fact. And if it happens, guess what happens to you? You die. You will die from it. You will not survive. You will not make it to the cross. You will die before you get there. Because once that happens, you have hemorrhaged on the greatest level of hemorrhaging that is known to man. And you will die. You will bleed out in moments. Yet Jesus didn't. Why? Because he is both God and man. He is the sinless Savior, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was dead, crucified, and buried. The third day, he rose again from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins. Amen. And the life everlasting. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the virgin birth is so real and so blessed of God. It shows us truly that even God himself restrains himself from forcing anything. But in our saying yes, he can not only bring forth our own salvation, but the salvation of us all. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we thank you so much that you chose such a manner to bring your Son. That, Lord, it includes us. And, Lord, as we look at it, yet we have the full wonder of God in human form. And how can that which the universe cannot contain be contained within these flesh walls? Lord, we can't understand it all. The portions that we can, Lord, still leave questions. But, Father, that is where faith meets us. And that is where we grasp hold of the hope that we have, knowing that your Son, our Savior, was born of the Virgin, sinless, and remained so unto his death, that he took upon himself our sin. And Lord, in it all, you asked for our cooperation. You never forced it. So Lord, may we cooperate this day as you work out our salvation in us with fear and trembling, for may we remember the words of Philippians, that it is God, you, Father, who work in us according to thy will and thy good pleasure. Oh, gracious Lord, as we submit ourselves to you, may we too receive the blessing of Mary and the coming of our Savior in our own lives and in the lives of those that we know and love. For these things we pray thee in the mighty and powerful name of he who is the Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, amen. And amen.